forward. They let me know that the battery was off in the lapel mic. Tom told me to stay close to this, and that's almost impossible. So I'll just be wherever I'll be. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to be reading scriptures from there and from the 5th chapter of 1 John. And then keep your Bibles open in 1 John, because the ministry of that day's sermon will be totally from that book. We're serving a good God, and He loves us. Amen. 1 John 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in Him. Hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Then in the 5th chapter, verse number 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There's one thing that is emphasized in this reading. Keep your Bibles open there, if you will. But one thing that is emphasized, that we might know that all is well between us and God. We might have the assurance that everything is right between us and God. We've just sung the hymn by Fanny Crosby, Blessed Assurance. You can have that assurance that you know, that you know, that you know. So I ask you a question. Do you know? Does anyone know? Did you just say amen?
Amen?
Amen, amen. Thank God that we can know. In today's society, we're told that nothing is certain. There are no absolutes. You cannot be sure of anything. Not even the existence of God, nor the creation story, nor the authenticity of the Bible, nor the deity of Christ, nor salvation from sin, nor life after death. You just can't be sure of anything. I read a story one time of a man that was saved, and he was talking to say, gave his testimony about being saved on his way to heaven. And after the service, a man, a religious man, met him and said to him, "Sir, I love your testimony. I believe it's real, but there's one thing you said that I felt I needed to correct you." He said, "Please, if I've said something that's not right, I want to be corrected because I want to be right." He said, "You said that you know that you're saved. And no one can know until that day they stand before God." And the man said, "Sir, maybe you don't know. Maybe others don't know, but I know that I'm saved. And this morning I can tell you, I know that I know." Thank God. Thank God. At the outset of today's sermon, I want everyone to be assured that you're saved. If you're saved by grace, if your sins have been forgiven, if they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, those who live lives that are pleasing to God, they've been changed by the power of God. You know. You know. You were there when it happened. And you ought to know. If you're one of those today, you ought to be thankful to God that you are saved by grace. First thing that I'd like to mention this morning, as I try to preach concerning John, the Apostle John, some things that I read about in this book, I read that John knew. He had no doubt whatsoever. And so I would like to begin by saying, John knew the Lord. Let me read, if I may, from 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3. He said, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." Let me read that again. "Hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." He knew the Lord because He kept His commandments. Let me just throw this out today. No man can keep the commandments of God unless he knows Him. John was saying, all believers who keep the commandments of God, all of those who know Him as a personal Savior, and that includes you and me, that includes this church, that includes us today, those of us that are saved, we know the Lord. Let me leave this with you. Let me share this with you now. It wasn't just what we learned in Sunday school of what we learned in children's church, or what we were taught in Bible study, how that we might know Him. But the Bible lets us to know there's one thing that we can be sure of, absolutely, that we know the Lord is our Savior. He's the King of our life. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He said these words, I know in whom I have believed. If you know Him today, you have something to rejoice about. In chapter number 16 of Matthew, while the disciples were in Caesarea Philippi with Jesus, He asked them two questions. They were there for a time of rest to get away from the crowd. All that was going on, and Jesus took the disciples aside to Philippi, to Caesarea Philippi, and He asked them two questions. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? When you're in the marketplace, when you're amongst the people in the temple or tabernacle, wherever, who do the people say that I am? And they began to answer. Some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Others say that you're one of the prophets. And then Jesus asked the same question. He said, but whom say ye that I am? How about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How could He say such thing? Is because He knew. Like John, He knew. Thank God, thank God. Now I went a little further. Knowing Jesus doesn't just come from learning in Sunday school and church or children's church, as I've just mentioned. I thought about all the stories we learned in Sunday school. I thought about the creation story. I still believe it, just like it is. One of those that's running for president in the next year was asked a question when he was in London. What do you believe? What do you think about evolution? And now it's become a political thing. If you believe in the Bible, that you're just far out. Let me just say something right now concerning me. I still believe the Bible. That Jesus, God created it all. Surely there's been some evolving since that time, but first we didn't evolve into man. God made us. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Paul Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. John knew the Lord as his Savior. He was born again. He knew that in Christ. And so the first thing that I mentioned today, John knew the Lord. And I'm asking you before I go on today, do you know Him in a personal way? Have you met the Master? I thought about Paul on the road to Damascus, a zealot, a religious fanatic, trying to do away with Christianity, did not believe in the Christ of glory, did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus, did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And while he was out persecuting Christians, he met the Master, and it changed his life completely. I believe this today. When you meet Jesus, it changes you forever. You might not accept Him as Savior, but you'll never be the same. Aren't you glad one day you met Him? John knew the Lord. Peter knew the Lord. Paul knew the Lord. I know the Lord. I met Him one day. And I accepted Him as my Savior. The second thing I'd like to mention this morning, and I'm going to read from the fifth chapter of this first John, the book of 1 John. Verses 14 and 15 of the fifth chapter. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. Turn back to the third chapter. I'm going to read verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. John knew that God answers prayer. Could I ask for a show of hands today? How many in this congregation right now believe that Jesus Christ still answers prayer? Raise your hand high. You really believe that? Jesus answers prayer today. I believe Him with everything within me today. He's still God. And He answers when church prayed for Peter in Acts chapter 12. He was in prison. He was in the cell. He was chained between those guards that were there. And the Bible said the church was praying. And when the church prayed, God sent an angel from heaven, came to that prison, and unbolted the door, unlocked the door, went in and unlocked the chains upon Peter's hands, and he was set free. I believe that Peter knew the Lord, and he believed in answering prayer, God answering prayer. I read a little further. In Acts chapter 9, there was a woman of the women's ministry of Joppa. She was a good woman. She loved God. Had a real testimony of serving God. And one day she died. Women's auxiliary, the women's ministry, was in a turmoil. What are we going to do? Dorcas, one of our leading members, leaders, what are we going to do? And someone said, call for Peter. Call for Peter. Peter came to Joppa. And she was there, lying on the bed, dead. People weeping, crying, sharing what Dorcas has done in the women's ministry. How valuable she was to the kingdom of God. How she had been a blessing to so many. And the Bible says that Peter went to her and prayed for her. And she opened her eyes and sat up. Let me say that again. She was dead. Peter prayed for her. She opened her eyes and she sat up. Hallelujah. I say amen. God answers prayer. Hallelujah. And the wonderful part is we know that the same Jesus is still in the business of answering prayer today, because he's answered prayer in the lives of so many that are here this morning. I gave a testimony briefly that many of you have heard over and over and over again, but I shared it one more time because who knows, I might never get to share it again, and I'm not going to share it again this morning here, but I gave the testimony one more time of how God came on the scene and answered prayer in our behalf for our son Micah. That had a brain tumor. I want you to know that that's a long time ago, but God is still the same today. Amen. Some of you have been healed by the power of God. Some of you have a testimony. The Lord came by. The Lord touched me. Let me just leave this with you today without going into detail. God answered prayer for me this week. I don't have to go back 50 years, 40 years. God answered prayer this week. Specifically, I told him exactly what we needed. And he came on the scene. We are serving a good God. If you forget so much of the rest that I say today, remember this. God loves you. And he hears you when you pray. And he still answers prayer. He still answers prayer. He answers prayer today. He answered prayer yesterday. And if the Lord tells us he'll answer prayer tomorrow, he's an answering prayer, answering God. Amen. Call upon him. I love the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah and the 3rd verse when God said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Let me say it again. Call upon me, God said, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Folks, whatever you need today, call on God. Some say, well, mine is just a headache, or mine is so small. When I think about the others and what they're going through and the suffering that they have, I feel ashamed to ask God for this because it's so small compared to that. God is concerned with everything that comes your way. Whatever it might be, God is concerned, and he loves us. John knew that God answers prayer. Let me just tell you a testimony of John. I've read Fox's Book of Martyrs. I've read the Bible through many times. There's so much more there that I've never grasped at all. Seems like I find something new every time I go through another page. Let me leave this with you today. I found that Matthew and Mark, I found that the disciples, Bartholomew and James and all the others, I found that they were put to death. Some in India, some in Jerusalem, some somewhere else. They were put to death. But one man of the 12 disciples did not die being put to death. His name was John that wrote this. They tried to kill him. They even boiled him in oil. Think about it. Boiled him in oil to try to silence his voice. And yet God still had a ministry for John. And I've said this often and I'll repeat it today. God will use you as long as you're in His hand. God, you are immortal as long as you're in God's hand. Satan cannot destroy you. Satan cannot defeat you. If you're in God's hand today, you are immortal. Satan cannot take your life. Keep that in mind. God is a big God and He answers prayer. I ask you a question before I go on. I know that John knew the Lord and you know the Lord. John believed that God answers prayer and you believe that God answers prayer. Is there a prayer request that you have right now without you saying a word? Is there something that you would love for God to do? Remember Hannah's prayer in the Sunday school lesson this morning. She prayed quietly to herself. Wasn't audible. Eli didn't hear her, although he's close by. Do you have a request this morning that you want God to take care of? Do you have a son or a daughter that's unsaved? Do you have a loved one that's away from God? Is there something in your heart, in your life, that you'd like for God to minister today? If you do, raise your hand right now. If there's something you'd like for God to do, believe Him. Believe Him today. Somebody said, Brother George, if we'll have a revival and the Holy Ghost begins to move, then my faith will be increasing and I'll run to that altar. I believe God. Listen, the Lord is real today. Believe Him for that need. If you raise your children right, and some of them have gone astray, and it looks as if they're going further and further away from God, hold on to God. Believe God. Trust God. He hears and He answers prayer. John believed that God answers prayer. The fourth, third thing. And I'm going to read from the fifth chapter again. Verse number 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And that wicked one toucheth him not. Then in the third chapter, verses 6-8. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus taught and John knew that Christians do not practice sin. Let me, I want to make something plain as I possibly can this Sunday morning. John did not say it's impossible for a Christian to sin. John did not say it's impossible for a Christian to go back on God. John did not say it's impossible for a Christian to falter and fail along the wayside. But John did teach that you do not have to sin. You do not continue in sin after you get saved. I want you to understand from the scripture that I read in the third chapter of the Bible of John when he says, we do not continue in sin. We do not after we get saved. If a man continues in sin, he's a sinner. We have come to the place in America that there's a difference between the sin of a Christian and the sin of a sinner. But please understand, sin is sin. And sin will separate from God. If it's a white lie, green lie, blue lie, or black lie. If it's sin, it will separate from God. And John believed that it's possible to live without sin. Let me leave an illustration. Two times in Jesus' ministry, He healed, He saved, He forgave. He invited people to come to a knowledge of salvation and He forgave them. And then He said, twice He said, two occasions He said, now go and sin no more. We're living in a day of Christianity with sinning Christians. There's no such thing. We're living in a day when you don't hear much about holiness and sanctification and selling out to God and laying all in the altar and living above sin. And I'm here to tell you, although a man can sin, a man can fall, The Bible says, "My little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." John said those words, "I'm writing to you, children, I'm writing to you, Christians, that you sin not. Live without sin. Live every day without sin." Brother Jones, is that possible? The Lord would never have said it unless it's possible. Could you live an hour without sin? Surely. Could you live 5 minutes without sin? Surely. If you can live 1 hour, couldn't you live 2? Surely. Sin is willful disobedience against the Word of God. Knowing what God wants you to do and going against it. And how many today have lost their way in the Christian church, having been taught, well, everybody sins. Some are taught that you have to sin every day. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? Some have been taught a wrong doctrine, misconception of the Scripture. When Jesus said, "Go and sin no more," He said, in essence, He said this, "I'm in your life now. You've asked me to come in. And I shall live with you. I'll go with you. And whenever the devil comes against you to tempt you, I will answer him. And you can live a victorious life." The Bible says we're always triumphant in Christ. Do you believe that? We're always victorious in Christ. The Bible also says, "Greater is He that's within us than he that's within the world. If God be for us, who can be against us?" Hallelujah, hallelujah. "Greater is He that's within us than he that's within the world." If the Lord lives in our heart and in our eyes, when Satan comes against us and tries to defeat us and deny that we deny the Lord, I want you to know, greater is He that's in your heart and in your life than in this world. Satan is defeated. We're victorious. My wife has had hip replacement surgery just over 2 weeks ago. There's been a lot of pain. Phoebe had the same thing not long ago. There's been a lot of pain. There's a lot of recovery. A whole lot of things people go through. We were talking last night about the suffering and the pain. We don't understand a lot of things, but one thing we do know. There's coming a day when there'll be more pain. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more surgery. There'll be no more suffering, such as Joyce Smith early this morning, such as maybe Sister Holly's going through it and trying to give birth to a child. A lot of time, there's a lot of pain. They go to the door of death to give birth to a child, but in the midst of it all, when it's all sitting down, brother, there's victory. There's joy. There's rejoicing in the presence of God. Listen closely today. John knew the Lord. John knew that God answers prayer. And John knew that Christians do not practice sin. And I'm going to add my voice to John today. Christians do not practice sin. When they get saved, they go out of the sinning business and they serve the Lord. Amen, amen. If you have sin in your life this morning, I urge you to repent. Confess it to God and leave this place with victory. You might be a Christian that has let down and fallen. And Satan says, "What's the use? Why try? You can't make it." The devil's a liar. You can make it by the grace and help of God. I urge you to repent. Confess to God. He will hear and He will answer. Now that you are saved, go out of the sinning business altogether. John did not teach it's impossible to sin. He said that you might sin, you might fall, but if you do, call on the Lord. He will forgive. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Like Peter, like Paul, and like Jesus taught, we don't have to sin. Some have said, and these words, and you've heard them over and over again, maybe you've even said them, "The devil made me do it." Did you ever hear that? "The devil made me do it." The devil didn't make any of us do it. A man sins when he goes against God. Somebody said, "Brother Jones, why preach such a thought on a Sunday morning?" Because sometimes people have sin in their lives and they need to take care of it. And that could happen to any of us if you're let down.
Ask God today. Ask God today to wash it away, to cleanse it. Wash it with the blood. Cleanse it for your sake and for His glory. Because God is real and He's greater than all that else. If you're here this morning without victory, turn it over to the Lord. And the last thing John knew, not only does Christians do not continue in sin, John knew that Jesus Christ is coming again. I'm going to take some time here. I was called to preach in November 1958. That's a long time ago. I mentioned how that I was standing outside of the church in Tucson, Arizona. And a funeral had taken place in the church, and they were going to the graveside, and my wife and I did not know the person, and they asked me, and the pastor asked me, would I stay behind and be sure everything was locked up and closed. And I was standing with my wife outside the front door of the church as the funeral procession went on to the cemetery. Standing there, God spoke to my heart. Led me to know that His Son was soon to come. In 1958. My Son is soon to come. In November 1958, He called me to preach. I had a struggle, briefly, whether to get out of the service with 11 years towards retirement, or get out and go preach, or stay in the service and retire and then go preach. And the more I prayed, I felt God would have us to go preach. And I preached. Beginning in July the 19th, 1959, until last March, 55 years, and one major theme of my ministry has been, He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. I've loved the book of Revelation. I've loved the study of prophecy. I was in the library just before morning service began with Loretta. She was asking about a book maybe that I might recommend in a certain way. And I pointed to a book about the end time and about the Lord's coming. She's searching for something. I want everyone to know, when I got saved and went in the ministry in July 1959, I never believed that I would live to see this day. I believed that the Lord was going to come before 2015. He hasn't come. I believed that I would be living when He came. He didn't tell me that, but I think I hoped it. He hasn't come. I might go the way of the grave this week, and He hasn't yet come. But I'm going to preach my last sermon one day. It might be today, I don't know. And so, whatever it might be, this is what I want to tell you. He's coming. John believed that Jesus is coming. They couldn't put Him to death. He preached, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. Hallelujah. He believed it. With everything that he had. And listen to some of the words in the third chapter. I'm going to read the first two verses of the third chapter. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah. Look at those four words. John said, when He shall appear. He didn't say, if He shall appear, or He's likely to appear, or maybe He'll appear, or possibly He'll appear, or more, or somehow, hopefully He'll appear. He said, when He shall appear. Hallelujah. When I read of Peter, he said, when the chief shepherd shall appear. John knew that it was coming. Peter knew that it was coming. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul said, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout,
and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we with the alive and remain shall be called together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul said, the Lord is coming. Peter said, the Lord is coming. John said, the Lord is coming. And on the day of Jesus' ascension into heaven, out there on the Mount of Olives, with that crowd of believers around about, suddenly Jesus began to ascend slowly into the heavens. He went away into the glory world to be back with the Father, seat himself at the right hand of the Father. But while they were standing there, the disciples were there, Peter, James, John, and the others, and they were gazing up into the heavens, and suddenly an angel said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? What's the next words? This same Jesus, this same Jesus that ye see go away shall come in like manner have ye seen him go away. This same Jesus. That's another sermon. The same Jesus that was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Same Jesus that was born of a virgin. The same Jesus that died on the cross for the sins of the world. The same Jesus that laid his hands on the blind and their eyes were opened. The same Jesus that healed the palsied man and came to cause the lame to walk and raised the dead and fed the multitude and walked on the water. The same Jesus that saved my wife and I and an altar together. The same Jesus is coming back again. Brother, that's something you get excited about. He's coming. John believed it. Paul believed it. Peter believed it. The angel said it. Luke believed it. The same Jesus. And I leave one more to authenticate what I've just said. In the 14th chapter of John, and I've used this scripture so many times in my ministry, it happened to be my father's favorite scriptures. In fact, I mentioned it in his funeral right here. As Jesus and the disciples were leaving the upper room, the Last Supper, headed for the garden for prayer, they were disturbed because Jesus had mentioned about what's going to happen. They didn't have it all worked out in their minds, and Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go away, he said these words, and if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen to these words. And if I go away, I'm going to leave you. I'm going back to the Father. And if I go away, I will send the Comforter, he said, in another place. I will come again. I will come again. Jesus said, I will come again. And I leave that with you today. This might be the day that Jesus comes. I've preached it 55 years. The last time I preached in this pulpit, I preached from the writings of Paul about looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. And this morning I mentioned things that John knew and that you and I know. I know the Lord, and I'm glad that I know him. And I'm glad that he knows me. John knew that God answers prayer. There's nothing more wonderful than to know that when you go to prayer, that God hears and answers. You can pray with faith, believing. John knew that you don't continue in sin after you get saved. You go out of the sinning business. And if you faltered and failed, he's right there with his hands outstretched, waiting for you to come back. Sin will separate you from God here and will separate you from God in eternity. If you have sin in your life today, he's waiting with his arms outstretched. Come unto me. All you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. John knew the Lord. He knew that God answers prayer. He knew that God is real, that you do not continue in sin after you get saved.
and we knew that Jesus is coming again. I mentioned those four things. I'm not going to ask anyone to come to the piano, but I'm going to ask you to stand with me right now, if you will. Everyone, would you stand with me for just a moment?